Your Bibles, if you would please, tonight, open up to John chapter number 8 in the Word of God tonight. John chapter number 8 in the Word of God this evening. Shannon, great job back there. I know we had you tucked away in the corner, and Brother Ben did a great job. We are set up, and we invite you out tomorrow and Friday. It's going to be an incredible day for our school, and the school play is taking place. And so I know our stage looks a little bit different. Some of you were in an absolute panic thinking, oh, we changed the platform. What's going on? It's a slippery slope. Oh, no. No, we didn't change it. And no, I'm not preaching on the Last Supper this evening. It's just it's for a play. Okay, so come and join us tomorrow night and Friday night. It's going to be a wonderful time watching our kids. But welcome this evening. Excited about discipleship tonight. We are going to begin and appreciate just the update from Mr. Carlson, Ed, at the school this evening. But tonight really is this new series that we've been heading into, and we've been advertising on Facebook and around the church that we have discipleship coming soon. And so what does that look like? What does discipleship, when we look at it, what does it look like? What does this journey look like? And as I've been doing a lot of study over the last couple months, and we even introduced a program where I pastored in West Virginia for about 10 years. And there's a lot of programs out there. And the problem is oftentimes it's very complex, and there's a lot of moving parts and a lot that goes into it. And so really at CrossPoint, begin to pray, okay, what are we going to do and what fits us, since it's not one size fits all? And I begin to pray, and I really believe that it's going to be us coming together and just using the Word of God to walk someone through, this baby Christian, walk them through learning the very Word of God, learning the doctrines of the Word of God, and philosophy, and a little bit of methodology, and a lot of theology. And how do you walk through somebody? How do you walk someone through all that? And for some, it's, oh, this old hat, I got it. And man, put me in, coach, I'm ready to go. And for others, you could get nervous, and I've never done it before. And can you name the Godhead? And can you talk about the attributes of the Holy Spirit? And why are we Baptist? And what does the Word of God really say about a marriage? And what does it say about the signs of the times? And when is the rapture going to take place? And does it take place at the beginning, the end? What happens? Okay, so we start thinking through these things, and for some, you can get in a panic. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. So here, I'm out. No, you can't be out, because it's for all of us. And tonight I want us to begin this journey together. And once again, several Sunday nights ago, we're in this passage of Scripture in John chapter number 8. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word, John chapter number 8. Remember, we were talking about discipleship now. And if you remember, we began to talk about something that is missing. Something that is missing. And so look at John chapter 8. Would you look with me at verse number 30? John chapter 8 and verse number 30, the Bible says this. And he spake these words, as he spake these words, watch it now, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For the next couple of moments, let's dive in looking at what is missing, and then we're going to dive in to this first part here in just a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and jump right into this. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you how you move and how you guide, how you direct. Father, thank you for an auditorium full of folks tonight that have come to learn about you. And Father, as we dive into this series, Lord, give me the words to say. Father, it's a tendency to kind of maybe either take too long or to fly through it. Lord, let us just tune into the Word and let us grow tonight and let us learn more about you. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What is missing? Here it says this passage of Scripture that if you want to be my disciples, then you must continue in the Word. Okay, so why is this? Why is it that these Jews were taught by Jesus right away? Okay, you have believed on me, so what is the next step? Well, the next step is to know truth. Okay, well then, how are we going to know truth? Then you're going to know truth by, watch now, if you continue in my word. In our Baptist churches, oftentimes today, there is something that we saw several Sunday nights ago that is missing. I think oftentimes, as I've been in hundreds of Baptist churches around the nation, that oftentimes independent Baptist churches are very good at singing. They're good at praising God through their singing. They have the worship services down, and whether it be sing a hymn and then go through a scheduled service, prayer, sing two hymns, whatever the case might be, worship and singing, man, they're good at it. Whether it be connection groups or life stage groups or Sunday school classes, whatever you want to tell them or call it, very good at it. They've got them fine-tuned, and whether it be by ages or life stages. Baptist churches generally, whether big or small, they're very good at connecting with people in life stage groups. Missionaries and sending missionaries out and taking on missionaries for support. I think we could tweak some areas, but nonetheless, over the last 50, 60 years, the independent Baptist movement has done a great job of getting missionaries sent out. And it is still, I think, a heartbeat at Cross Point Baptist Church to continue to see that wall in the back, more placards going up, and us continuing to support missionaries. If you agree with that, would you say amen tonight? It ought to be our heartbeat. Personal soul winning. This past Sunday morning during Easter, as Pastor Ann said, man, I don't even know how many letters I signed as we made our first connect with these visitors that came in. But I'm telling you, I put a lot of signatures on letters that went out to visitors that were here. And so many of those visitors, as I was talking to them, I'm talking fast, but just tune in, buckle your seatbelt because we got to get through this. Many of those that I talked to were personally invited by someone else. So-and-so was in my neighborhood. So-and-so saw me in a restaurant. That personal evangelism, it's there, and I praise the Lord for it. But there is something strange that is missing oftentimes, and that is this. It is discipleship. It is taking someone one-on-one and teaching them the very word of God. One of the major factors among growing churches is an aggressive one-on-one discipleship ministry. And I said it several weeks ago, and I just want to say it again. We must be in the mindset that we add through evangelism, we multiply through discipleship. It's not a made up word. It's not something that's newfangled. What you and I are going to get into, and you know me now as your pastor, but also as your preacher, that what we're talking about is founded in the very word of God. We add through evangelism, we multiply through discipleship. To Jesus Christ, discipleship was important. He took his disciples oftentimes one-on-one and began to teach them. There were oftentimes he would have discussions with different individuals, whether it be a little man that's up in a tree or a lady that happened to be at the well or John chapter 3, a man that wanted to meet in the middle of the night. Jesus was very good at meeting and talking and discipling, including Matthew chapter 5, seeing the multitudes. He went up to a mountain, and when it was set, he began to teach his disciples, saying, and then we go through the Beatitudes. He was great at discipleship. And at Cross Point Baptist Church, as we launch this, watch now, hold on, it has to be an all-out effort. This is something that every one of us can get involved in. Well, I don't like new things, okay? Then you're definitely not going to like the Word of God, because God often talks about in His Word the word new. He talks about a new song. We're going to have a new heaven. We're going to have a new earth. We're going to have new bodies. Okay, I get it, Pastor. I'm in. No, I don't understand. We're going to do something that is biblical and spiritual. And check it out. It is for all of us. Well, I put in my time and I taught Sunday school for 50 years. Perfect. You're going to do awesome at this. Well, I just got saved a couple months ago. Perfect. Great. You're going to be our guinea pig. We're going to walk you through, and then you're going to do it. So what do? First of all, I said it. We can get excited about it. Anything that involves the Word of God, we ought to get excited about. Can I have an amen right there? It's the Word of God. It's exciting. It's our Savior. It's something that I think too often times that's come to church, get through it. Oh, this is wrong. This is bad. This is negative, negative, negative. If you know me at all now, I cannot hit this the way I do my wood one. This is not going to work out. Okay. So, we'll be bringing my pulpit back here soon. But nonetheless, we can get excited. Why? It's the Word of God. We can pray. Hold on. We can pray. We get involved by praying through this process of reaching and then teaching people about Jesus in the Indianapolis area. All of us can get involved, but fortunately, we can take notes. And this is what I want to, over the next several weeks, encourage you to do, is to highlight in your Bible. If you don't highlight in your Bible, is to take some notes. Do a personal study. Get involved in the Word of God. Say, Pastor, I can't write that fast, and you move too fast. I don't have it all down. We're going to help you out, and I'm going to tell you this even. When we go to introduce this and we start getting involved and sitting down with a cup of coffee and talking to someone, we are going to have a book for you and a book for the person that you're discipling, and you're going to have all the cheats right there. You're going to have all the verses right there. You're going to be able to walk through. But what is in the book and what I'm teaching is similar, but it's not the same. I want us to dive a little bit deeper and get some nuggets out so that we are ready. Okay, so all that to say this, it is now 7:35. Don't be in a panic, but I want to say it this way. Where do we start? So where do we start? Somebody comes in on Sunday, Easter Sunday. They walk the aisle. We bring them in the bag. Somebody shares with them the gospel. They walk them through the Romans Road. They get saved. Okay, now what happens? I mean, really, honestly, where do we go from there? Oftentimes, this is where we can get off track if we're not careful. We lead somebody to the Lord, okay? They've trusted Christ as their Savior, so we've got to teach them. They don't know anything. They have no idea. They don't know the books of the Bible. They don't know Old Testament, New Testament. They don't know how many books of the Bible there is. They don't know God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. We're walking them through, okay, so where do we start? Well, here's where we get off. Well, what often happens, if we're not careful, hold on, I'm not calling us out. I'm saying if we're not careful, what will happen is we'll start bringing them through what we want to bring them through. That means this, our preferences, what we think is right and what we think is wrong. So here's where we're going to start. Oh, first thing you need to do is you need to stop driving a Ford and you need to start driving a Dodge. And secondly, you need to stop wearing that and you start wearing this. And thirdly, you got to get rid of those glasses and you got to wear these glasses and you need to this. And all of a sudden, if we're not careful, what we begin to do is we just begin to walk them through what we want to walk them through. And it's about us and what we want, okay? So let's pause for a moment. But the opposite can happen on the spectrum as well. We can lead somebody to the Lord, and then all of a sudden we just leave them alone. That's it. You know, three to thrive, baby. Get in church, and you'll learn all you need to know from Pastor Shepherd. And I'm glad you got your fire insurance. You're not going to hell. Congratulations. We're good. We'll leave it right there. Both sides, there's an imbalance. Both sides have left this person high and dry, and either they're just learning how to be a robot or how to live up to somebody else's preference or standards or somebody else's expectations, and or they're just left alone. And congratulations, you got saved. What do I do next? I don't know. Here's a pamphlet on baptism. Talk to Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan, let's get him baptized, and then we'll see if they make it. We can't have either. See, here's where we start. See on the screen this evening, we have to start with the Word of God. The only place to turn is the Bible. This is our foundation. This is our starting and ending point. This is where all of our, check it out, at Crosspoint, this is where our doctrine comes from. Anybody want to help me out with an amen right there? Aren't you glad it's not preference? Amen. Aren't you glad it's not Pastor Shepherd's standards? Aren't you glad it's not Brother Titus's standards or Brother Gary's standards or Brother Denny's standards? God forbid, zips his Bible early every week. Like, aren't you just glad it's not somebody else's? I love you, Denny. Aren't you glad it's not somebody else's? It's the very Word of God. Understand this evening that the Bible is God's holy Word. Upon that very statement lies the very hope for all of the Indianapolis area. The hope for mankind is found not in politics, not in the United States of America, not in religion, but it's found in the Bible. Why? Because in God's Word is where we find the gospel. Without an absolute written authority from God Himself, there can be no discernment on right or wrong, or truth and error, or knowledge, or anything that God requires from man. Without the Word of God, man knows not even where he came from, or where he is going, or how he is going to get there. Do you comprehend tonight? Without this Bible, what are we doing? No, I said, without the very Word of God, what are we doing? We're playing. Without the Word of God, it's just going to be an endless barrage of I want in my way and pride, honestly. Without the Word of God, there is no basis and or starting point. So we have to start in the Word of God. So if a person just comes to the Lord, they're just beginning to meet, and we begin to talk to them, we have to have a starting point. For all those who have led somebody to the Lord, you know, in your life, you have a starting point somewhere. In my life, when I get with somebody, I'm either taking them to the book of John, or I'm going to take them to Romans. I'm going to begin to run through those books and begin to show them how sin entered into the world. And by that sin, we're all born sinners. And that you have sinned and I have sinned. And then the payment for that. Okay, so we begin to walk them through. So here's what you have to begin to teach somebody. Number one, we have the Word of God. And here's where we're going to start. The Word of God saves you. Number one, write this down. The Word of God saves you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Romans 10:17. Then faith cometh by hearing. Listen now, watch. And hearing by what? The Word of God. James chapter 1. Oh, receive with meekness. Check it out. The engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Without the Word, you cannot be born again. Without the Bible, man wouldn't know the truth of the gospel. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 15 defines, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." Listen now, watch. How do we know that? According to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day. How do we know this? Not one person in this room, as I preached this past Sunday morning, we were not there at the tomb. Some of you have been to Israel. There's a battle of really two places that they believe that Christ was buried. And maybe you've been there. I've never been there. It's on my bucket list. It's top of my bucket list to get to Israel one day. I've never been there. But understand this. Maybe you've been to a tomb, but we weren't there the day that Jesus rose from the grave. We haven't seen it. We've never seen Him. We've never seen God in the flesh. Well, I saw this cloud out there, and I believe that was God. Okay, maybe you saw a cloud, or you were painting, and the paint ran, and it looked like Jesus. But let me just put it this way. You have never seen God face to face. So then, how do you know He exists? How do you know He died? How do you know He was risen? How do you know that He lives today? Well, this begins to explain the gospel. And Paul said that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. Check it out. According to the Scriptures. You see, a person must be led through the Word of God in order to be saved. We must carefully do not get into this mindset. Watch now. That we almost, I'm just going to use the word, and I think Pastor Foe, you've been around long enough, some have heard this term, and others just might be new to you, but may we never watch now, as Bible believers, get into this mindset, or this check off a list, okay, you ready for this, of easy believism. Amen. Has anybody heard of that? Say amen. Okay, a couple of you have heard it. How about this, if you've ever heard easy believism, will you raise your hand tonight? Okay. Then why didn't y'all say amen? See, okay, I'm getting to the nitty gritty here. I'm getting to the bottom of this. Some of you are skipping out on the amen. All right, so listen, easy believism, we've heard it. Well, what is that? That is not taking somebody through the Word of God, and it's in a quick way, ABC, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and okay, you did that, well, you're saved. We saw this oftentimes during VBSs. We've seen this in young Sunday school classes. Pastor, is this Eagledale? Are we talking about Cross Point? No, I'm talking about in religion in general. A lot of, and I only know Baptist churches because that's where I grew up in, okay? I'm Baptist through and through. In our Baptist churches, oftentimes, Pastor Foe, we saw it around the nation. It was almost this competition of how many people can we get saved? Next week, Brother Brian, win somebody to the Lord, we're going to give away this, it used to be like 36-inch, I think it was a big TV back there. We're going to give away this 36-inch TV. That's how big our cell phones are nowadays. Isn't that amazing? We're going to give this away, and it's all of a sudden this competition. Pack a pew Sunday, and we're going to pack them in, and run through, and pastor gives this 5-minute message. Raise your hand if you want to get saved. I said, we had 492 saved in 2017 and 9 baptized and 3 joined the church. Amen. Everybody say amen right there. Hold on. God forbid there be someone one day that Jesus looks at and says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. As your pastor, I'll say this even, I always want to be very guided by the Holy Spirit, but very careful as well. There are some big days on Christmases that I've quoted a prayer, and if you prayed this prayer, I do it oftentimes at Pastor Fisher revival services, and pray this prayer, and raise up your hand. As they raise a hand, man, Brother Yider, I want to get right back to them. If you notice, I don't do that every week. Oh, you got saved today. Got saved. Great. Now I can get on my Twitter and tell all my pastor friends. We had 18 saved in church today. And all of a sudden, we lose track or we've lost focus that people need to go through the Word of God. They need to be taught what a sinner is. What does the word redemption mean? What is the propitiation for sin? Why did Christ have to die? Why couldn't we just continue giving sacrifices? Was he really the perfect lamb? Did he really? How do we get to the bottom of all these questions? Well, I guess we'll just go to Google and we'll have to just look it up. Or we can get to the final authority. What is the final authority? That people are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is not religion, it's not church, it's not a denomination. The gospel is the very word of God. In a nutshell, it is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is clearly defined in the word of God. Now, if this makes sense so far, would you say amen? Okay, so you're with me so far. The others didn't say amen because they just don't like to say amen. So, number two, the word of God feeds us. Now we're taking somebody, we're going to show them how to be saved. How do we do it? Well, here it is. Here's the verses. Here's the go there. Boom. The word of God, it saves you. Now what do you do? Well, I don't know. Good luck. Get in church. Ask somebody that sits on your pew. Talk to the crampies. He's a good deacon. And I don't know. They'll kind of share. No, we can't do that anymore. Okay. We're going to personally take somebody through. So what does the Word of God do? Well, we're going to go to the Word of God first. It saves us. But number two, the Word of God feeds you. Job chapter 23 and verse number 12. Neither I've gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words, check it out, of his mouth more than my necessary food. John chapter 4, I have meat to eat that you know not of. All of us that are parents or grandparents, okay, this is just common sense. You don't have to be a parent to know this. But if a child does not receive proper nourishment or food with proper nourishment, their growth is going to be, watch it now, stunted. It's not going to be natural. Let's put it that way. It's going to be, can I use this word, hindered. It's not going to be the same. I told you last week, somebody just put some pink Peeps on my desk. I appreciate that because I was running out very quickly. And if I like Peeps, but to be honest with you, marshmallow Peeps, like if that's all my diet was, you're not going to have a pastor very long. I guess it's going to be awful. and weird, and it's just, and a lot of bad things are going to take place to my body. Why? You can't live off marshmallows and the crispy sugar or whatever it is that they sprinkle on top. I don't even look at the ingredients, okay? I don't even look at it because somebody's just saying, well, it has yellow 5 in it. Okay, whatever. Nonetheless, I like it. But if you just feed a kid that, it's not good. Even so, if a child of God does not receive his food spiritually, they can be stunted. They can suffer. The Word of God is that food that makes a well-balanced diet and allows strength to grow for this newly saved individual. It is and has to be digested correctly. The Word of God, now we'll get into this as we'll have a couple minutes here, but comprehend the Word of God is several times referred to as different digestive foods and or drinks in the Word of God. The Word of God is called milk. It's the simplest form of food and or truth. This is where, hold on, listen now. This is where we're going to start. Somebody needs to get saved and they don't know the difference between Habakkuk and the Kardashian family. You're not going to automatically take them to the deep thoughts of God's Word. And we're going to talk about, and I use this word Sunday, but we're going to talk about the plans of the antediluvian period. And we're going to get in and really debate, you know, the big thing. No, hold on. We're not going to start there. What we're going to do is we're going to bring somebody to the milk of God's Word. I love this verse. It says this: as newborn babes, the desire, the sincere milk of the Word. Check it out, that they may grow thereby. 1 Corinthians chapter 9:3 and verse number 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. We're going to start with the milk of God's Word. Here's how you grow, and here's how your devotional life goes, and here's why we attend church, and here's what tithe is, and here's what the Holy Spirit does, and here's how sin will wreck your life and your marriage. And we start with that milk. It's that surface. Then we dive into the meat. This is the heaviest form of food and or, spiritually speaking, truth. This is where preaching comes in. This is where teaching of God's Word and discipleship and diving deeper into a Sunday school class or whatever the case might be. Listen to this verse and then we'll move on. Hebrews chapter 5 says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need of that I teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even to those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What does that mean? We have the milk is where we're going to start, but you can't just stay on. Hold on. You can't just stay on milk. It's not just honey. It's not just, have you noticed that I don't stand up in the pulpit and just preach on the hobby horses of the day when everybody's going to feel great and good and peppy. And let's get, you understand that we dive into sin and how it hurts the family. And we dive into the deep things of God's Word and even the coming of Christ. And we're not just this every week, gospel, get saved. We're going to dive into God's Word, not to come out dry, but so that you and I are growing and so that you and I are learning. We're going to see, and we'll see here in a couple of weeks, the Word of God is referred to as bread and water and honey and apples. And all of this, what does this do? Watch now. It gives us a balanced diet. It's balanced. This is personal. It's not that churches who don't have Sunday nights or Wednesday nights is ungodly or worldly or they've compromised. It's not what I'm saying at all. But it's God leading God's man in the church of their direction. Here is why personally, this is just personal. I'm not here to debate. And if you well, I think we ought to have 4 or 5 or 2, whatever. It's just personal. I feel like if I only preached on Sunday morning, man, it would be really hard to dive into the deep things of God's Word. Sunday nights, if you've noticed, I don't preach a lot of salvation messages on Sunday night. It's when we get into the family and it's when we hammer the culturally speaking what's going on around us. Wednesday nights, verse by verse, an expository way, exegeting the Word of God. What are we doing? We're diving in. And that's why, personally, I feel like we ought to have different services where people can come through and or to and grow. But it's not just the preaching.
Hold on. A person who just got saved, they have to know that they have to be in the Word of God. Now, I know I'm talking to a saved crowd this evening, but I want to be bold in saying this tonight. And as your pastor, you know I love you, but I'm just going to say it. We can become very religious. We become very duty-oriented. And I'm going to challenge us as God's people to change up our routine in our devotional life. Do you know that we can get so used to something that you can almost tune out? Tonight, I can barely even remember. I can barely even remember driving to church. I was on the phone. That's right. And I had my Bluetooth in, so I know we got cops in here. I was saying, you're on your phone? Okay, Brother Ronnie. Okay. I got Avery. I was good. I had my Bluetooth on. I was talking on the phone. That's what I was doing. Do you know, Brother Titus, I didn't even think about turning here, red lights, green lights. Or, you know why? Because I've done that trip hundreds of times now. It's just very religious. Let me think about it. Do you know we could become so religious in our devotional life that we'll come out and we have no idea what we just read? You ever done that? You ever read a chapter and you get to the end? It's like, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I don't even know what I read. But now I'm out of time because Instagram's calling and I got to get out of here. Hold on. Switch it up. Dive into a new book. Get in a book study. Study with somebody else. I'm just going to put a plug in this evening. I know I'm talking to a lot of members tonight. And if you're not part of a life stage group, come and be part of a life stage group. Say, Pastor, what is that? Okay, Sunday school class. Starts at 10 o'clock. Come, you're going to love it. It's so early in the morning. Why is it God's day that we're just, all of a sudden, 10 o'clock is so late? Like, to me, I wish school started at 10 o'clock, but, you know, we got people that are looking at us for accreditation, so I'm not going to give that recommendation tonight. Come and grow. Man, we dive into God's Word. We get to be with people who are our ages, our life stage, and whether you're of a gray head or those who just got married, all the way through, come in at 10. And what are we doing? We're growing in God's Word. Why? Because it feeds us. Lastly, this evening, and Brother Denny, if you don't mind, keep that Bible open. Lastly, we're going to look at the Word of God cleanses you. Number three, the Word of God cleanses you. John chapter 15 and verse number 3, now ye are clean. Hold on, whoa, where are we going? Don't tune out, watch. Oh, my thing's off. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened there, M. Must have been doing it on the way to church tonight. Listen, now the Word of God, now ye are clean through. What are we clean through? Don't tune out, watch now. Through the Word which I have spoken unto you. John 17, sanctify them through truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Check out that word, sanctify. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto? Hold on. According to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Yeah, purify your souls. How? In obeying the truth. Therefore, watch now, if you're a Christian and you want to stay clean, if you're a Christian, yes, you want to continue to grow. The Word of God feeds you. But it also, what does it do? It cleans us. It judges us. You and I, we're not going around. How do we want worship? Well, what do we want to wear? Well, what Bible do we use? How do we conduct our services? Well, what doctrine do we go with? Do we want to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? Or do we want to be secure? Do we want a foundation? You know what that foundation is? That foundation is this book right here. This Bible is a mirror. When we're in it, that person that you're discipling, they need to know, I'm not your judge. Too often have we gotten into I don't do this. Why don't you do that? Well, pastor's going to get upset. Well, this deacon's going to call me. Well, so-and-so, every time I don't, they look down at me. Excuse me, friend. We're not the judge of each other. We don't live up to each other's expectations. Preferably, if we're trying to live making everybody happy, friend, I'm just here to tell you, that is a miserable life to live.
It's the very Word of God that cleanses you and I. You show me somebody who is obsessed with the world, I'll show you somebody who's not in the Word of God. You show me somebody who is full of self and pride, and I'll show you somebody who is not in the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is all about kindness and love and joy and peace and happiness and forgiveness and balance. That's what we get from the Word of God. Now watch, and I'm almost done. Check it out. Friend, you cannot do anything for God. You cannot do anything for God until you find out what God has said. And you can't know all that He has said until you study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study to show yourself approved unto the church. Look what I've done. No, no, no. Well, my wife, well, my husband, well, that person, well, that pastor. No, no. Approved unto God. Being in the Word of God, it cleanses us. Why? Because the Bible is truly amazing. It transforms our life in such a way that we are able, watch now, we are able to live in the culture, in the world, in the society, in the political climate that you and I live in. Why? Because being in the Word of God saves, it feeds, it cleanses, but it gives us that hope. It was Dr. Curtis Hudson that said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Well, who can we trust? What can we trust? What do we do? Where do we go? This person just got saved. I don't even know where to start. Yes, you do. We're going to start with the Word of God.